Looking for a taste of the islands? Look no further than NOH Foods. That's NOH Foods of Hawaii. NOH Foods was developed to reflect the many international cultures and races of the islands. Hawaiian, Japanese, Chinese, Korean, Portuguese, Filipino, and more. Known for the wide variety of delicious seasoning and sauces. The products of NOH Foods can make anyone a master chef in their own kitchen. Easy to prepare and delicious in flavor are the hallmarks of NOH Foods. Again, that's NOH of Hawaii. Dishes like Chinese beef broccoli, Korean barbecue, Filipino adobo, Hawaiian kalua pork, and many, many more. Don't forget about the refreshing and very popular Hawaiian iced tea, sweetened with raw cane sugar and just the right touch of lemon. You can find NOH Foods online at Amazon.com and NOHfoods.com. Also in many stores and supermarkets. As we say in the islands, say yes to no. Aloha.
Welcome back to the No Name Football Podcast. I'm Jason McKee, and my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, super uppercut, the uppercut from Mike Tyson's punch out, my brother, perennial pro bowler, Bears all-time great, Fred Flintstone looking mother, my brother, brother O, baby! No man's
not. Hey, J-Mac, what's up, man? A good week, obviously, of high school football. I got to come out and watch Carmel play De La Salle in Libertyville at Carmel Catholic. Great stadium there. Great atmosphere. Kids looked good. Just wanted to know who you guys got next week and what you think of the game this week.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you coming out, man. You know, the kids love it. You know, they know when Brother O comes out, they're excited. They still talk about the time you came at practice. So they're always excited about having, you know, guys out at practice, especially guys of your caliber, Brother O. I think we played a good game last week, a little sloppy, brought up a lot of freshmen. Have the opportunity in the Prep Bowl to bring up some young guys and get them some experience, and that's what we did. So it was a little sloppy in terms of personnel and things like that. So that's on me, things that we will clean up during the week. I felt like we played a good game. We got to play another good game this week. We're playing Notre Dame Prep, a really good team, a solid ball club, a team that just fell short of making the playoffs. So it'll be a good test. We'll be down there in Niles. That's where Notre Dame Prep is. So a good test for us, but we're ready to accept the challenge, go down there and put on a good performance. So
now, a couple kids on your team, J-Mac, the quarterback. Mm-hmm. What grade is he in?
So our quarterback, Johnny Weber, is in 10th grade.
Wow.
And he's a big kid. You know, he's about 6'4", about 195. He's just, you know, still scratching the surface of how good he can be. He's a guy who, you know, always wants to put in the work.
That game now.
Yeah,
he always throws.
Yeah, he's a good player, man. He studies the game. He wants to be good. So, you know, the sky's the limit in terms of him as far as his, you know, development and things like that. So looking forward to seeing him progress throughout the upcoming years.
And then your running back, the wide receiver, number 14, and then number 8. Number 8's a monster.
Yeah, number 8 is A.J. Ajaga. He's a young guy who, I mean, he's a senior, but in terms of him playing defensive end, he's young in his development. Mm-hmm. You know, he's getting some interest, but he's still a guy who's still scratching the surface of how good he can be. He has potential, I think, when he gets to college and get in a really good strength program to really take his game to the next level. Our wide receiver, number 17, John Buckley, has just had a phenomenal year, brother. I mean, this
that
is
out route. That little out route he runs, kill him, man.
And he's a guy, Brother O, who hasn't got a lot of attention. I'm confused by it because he has a 31 ACT. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's exactly what you want in terms of a player and a student athlete. And, I mean, he has over 1,100 yards receiving and 15 touchdowns. Mm. I mean, he's never complains. I mean, he runs all the offensive reps and he tries to run the scout team reps. And I got to say, hey, look, JB, no, don't take the scout team reps. We need you for the game. I mean, he's that type of player. So really excited about him in the upcoming months to see where he's going to be playing, you know, football in college.
Yeah, very interested sometimes. You know, both my boys, one boy's at Illinois, James is going through recruiting. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff is earned. There's no doubt about that. The fact that a lot of these kids, but I think a problem I see with college coaches, J-Mac, is some of them give themselves a little too much credit on the coaching. They're gonna develop this kid. If you have a wide receiver who's good at football, he's just good at football, right? He's a good football player, but these guys are always looking for the numbers and the height and the weight and the speed, and because they think that they can develop the kid into being, and then they wonder why they have so many problems in their programs, which is just fascinating to me. As long as I've been around football, that has always interested me, that you look at a kid who's, man, that kid is good at football. And then some college coach is like, well, he's not this, this, and this. And I'm like, well, you're giving yourself a little too much credit for being a good coach. You know what I mean? Like, you get like, okay, show me the kid that you're talking about that you developed, right? And then there's just too many kids who slip through the cracks who can actually play football.
Way too many.
Like you're saying about your wide receiver, good student, good student, good teammate, practice hard. You can't get enough of those kind of guys on a football field, right? Man. You cannot. Loyola this week played Naperville Central. Loyola continues to, they say, ramble on, right? John Holasek, his coaching staff, they're just a tough team. Mm-hmm. They're a tough team. They gave Naperville Central all they could handle. Naperville Central now, a great school, enjoyed it up there. A beautiful school, nice campus, a great stadium. They had a great entrance that I just showed it to you on my phone. I filmed them walking in, arm in arm. Their coaches did a nice job. Loyola just has a lot of kids. This week, J-Mac, they say they see Lincoln Way East. Coach Z down there does a great job at Lincoln Way East. This is going to be a tough game. Tough game. These two teams match up a lot because both coaches, Coach Z and Coach Holasek, do a great job with their programs. And they just reload every year. And they got kids. And so they'll be at Loyola this week. One day, hopefully, the Loyola community there eventually they'll put some Friday night lights up for the Loyola kids. Get over yourselves. It won't kill your neighborhood if you put a few lights up.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, right down the road, Nutria has their lights up, but I guess Loyola, come on. I mean,
big time football, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
You may have to stay up a little late 4 or 5 Friday nights of the year.
Man, them kids deserve a Friday night game at home.
I won't go into the whole Loyola, like that community, they got a racket going on now.
Man.
Oh, they won't let the lights up.
I didn't even know
that. They charge the kids for parking around there. Oh, it's a racket. Oh, it's a racket.
Come on, Bush
League. It's a racket.
Get out of here, man.
Matt Bowen, who's always on our podcast, they are also in the quarterfinals, right? IC Catholic will play at Plunkett Field versus Princeton. They beat DePuke, I think, last week. I think that's how you say the name. I don't want to say DePuke, but our other guy in here, Big Cat Williams, he coaches at Lake Forest. They won. Lake Forest High School won. A lot of the kids we know, right, J-Mac? Lake Forest High School. Man. Of course, we always start with Leo Scheidler. Yes. We know Leo, right?
Stud
quarterback. You guys played against them, beat them. I'm sure that's still a sticky point with them right now. Ahmad Merritt over there, wide receiver coach. I'm sure you let him know about that. But, the Lake Forest team has a bunch of kids that we helped out at St. Mary's there in Lake Forest. And they play Prairie Ridge this week at Lake Forest. A lot of people in the quarterfinals. You guys got another game. Love to see football go on and on and on for these kids all out there on these. Some of them, most of them Saturday, I think, right now.
Yeah, a lot of them are Saturday, which is, which is weird. You know, you think playoff football would be played under Friday night lights. You would think that. But, yeah, a lot of Saturday games. Yeah. I mean, we're Saturday at 3 o'clock. You guys are Saturday. A lot of football going on Saturday, which is
– Where are you guys playing this
week? So, we're at Notre Dame. We're in Niles. So, luckily, it's not, like, real far right down the street. But, I'm still upset at the fact that, like you said, there's no lights up at Loyola. That's just – I mean, the kids deserve a Friday night game.
Oh, man.
You got a perennial powerhouse, man. Come on, man. Come on, man.
I know. Trust me.
Oh, my God. I'm going to say it for you, man. I don't care. I'm not up there.
You walk a mile down the road and Nutria has lights up. Whatever's going on in that community, hopefully one day they change that. It's kind of a problem with our nation, our world nowadays.
Yeah.
It's not about the kids. It's about adults are all worried about themselves. I can't have my green tea and fall asleep at 9:30 at night because there's a football game with lights across. Guys, come on.
If you knew, you shouldn't have moved there knowing that a football stadium's right there, a perennial powerhouse in the state of Illinois. They're going to play a Friday night football game, and hey, you're going to have extra backyard lighting in your backyard on Friday night.
It's definitely something I've always wondered about. I never had a chance to ask anybody how did that rule come about. But we'll move on to the Chicago Bears. J-Mac, they play the Pittsburgh Steelers this past on Monday Night Football. The arrival of Justin Fields. We might have saw the arrival. Now, we all know it's one game.
Yeah.
But what did you think about watching them? And here we are at the midpoint of the season.
Yeah, I'll start with the offense first. And first half, started too slow. I don't know what the offense needed. They needed some spark or something, you know, over the play callers or whatever. Spark him on up, you know, take some shots early. Get Fields in rhythm. You know, we started slow, and, you know, I think it cost us. And a part of us starting slow, I know there was the penalties. I mean, it seemed like every time the Bears made a big play in that first half, it was negated by a penalty, which takes you out of your rhythm offensively. Offensively, rhythm is important, especially for your quarterback, your offensive line. They're getting lathered up in the run game. You know, you want your offense to stay in rhythm, and penalties really disrupted that rhythm. Second half. Played really well. Like you said, we saw what Justin Fields can be in the future. I mean, some of the throws he made under pressure in certain situations. I mean, there was a bunch of plays to where he actually, I mean, that ball he threw to Marquise Goodwin, finally he took that shot that we've been waiting for a long time and connected on it, because we've been saying for weeks, where has Marquise Goodwin been? Mm-hmm. He's been on the back of a milk carton the whole season, and he finally showed up. We finally found him on that play. He also took a couple more shots, but, you know,
when he rose left and throws that ball.
Yes.
That is impressive,
yeah,
right?
He flips his shoulders around. He's a right-handed quarterback. That's a tough throw, man.
And he's accurate.
Yes.
Right?
Deadly.
Man.
I mean, the pass he threw, Brother O, to Cole Kmet over the middle, I think it was early in the third quarter. That ball he threw, it was a seam route by Cole Kmet, and he fitted in there. I mean, that's a throw, Brother O. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a throw.
Oh, but the one between the two guys? Was that Jimmy Graham?
No, it was Kmet over in the middle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one was Kmet. He came back and threw into Jimmy.
Okay.
Yeah, but just looking at what he does, man, in terms of the last drive as well. I mean, look at the last drive, the play he threw when Robinson was in the slot and he ran a fade from the slot. He ran a slot fade, and just to see his poise in that situation, I think it was that was third and two at that point, and big play in the game. You're on the road. You got to score. He checks the play and makes that throw to Allen Robinson downfield.
And recognizes that Allen Robinson is one-on-one.
Yeah, it's a mismatch.
With Marlette. Yep. Thank you, Bill Lazor, for moving Allen Robinson around and finding him. We appreciate that.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally. And, you know, I mean, and just look, just what he did, even the throw to Mooney, like you said, he rolled out to his left, got his shoulders around, and put that ball where only Mooney had a chance to catch that ball. I mean, he just does some great things. You know, you look at it and say.
And in that one, like, the thing I liked about that, J-Mac, was we've been hearing about the extra meanies, the extra work, right? He extends the play, gets out of the pocket to his left, which is not – seems like he can go either way, honestly.
Yes.
And Mooney extends his route, and it looks like they knew, like Mooney knew where to go, and Fields knew where he was going to throw it. And we were talking about a week or so ago, the extended play. And then he makes big plays off schedule, right? Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Mahomes, these guys who extend plays. And then you see like Tyreek Hill or DK Metcalf or Devontae Adams break off their route and go the other way.
Yes.
You know, Alan Lazard. How many times have we seen that from the Green Bay? So if we finally, not finally, I mean, gosh, this kid is, what start is this for him? Let me look at my sheet here, but. He started against the Browns, right?
Yeah, so, Browns is his first start.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 start, right? Terrible towels, J-Mac. They were swinging them. The crowd was loud. I mean.
And he's matured every week. I mean, you see, like we said a couple weeks ago, Brother O, he went up to that podium. He took ownership for the way he played and the way they played as a team offensively. And what did he say? I need to get my receivers. We need to do our homework. We need to play better. I need to play better. And what has he done since
played
that?
Better.
He's played better.
He's played better, man.
He's played great.
Man.
He's played great. And what I love about him, and I'll reiterate what I said last week about him, I like the fact that, you know, yes, he's an athlete that plays quarterback, but he's still a quarterback. Because some athletes that play quarterback, Brother O, they just look to run. You know, they just look to run. They just want to run. Run around the field. They run. He runs when he has to. He runs, like you said, to extend plays. You know, he runs to when he sees that breakdown in the defense. And that puts so much stress on the defense. I mean, it's third and long, and you have a quarterback that can convert with his legs. I mean, that just breaks you down. Mm-hmm. But also can get outside of the tackle box, right, and make that throw, whether he's going right or left, has that ability. And to put it where his receivers can only get it and to be accurate like he is, I mean, the sky's the limit,
well,
man.
Well, like, the thing I liked, and Montgomery was back, and you know how, well, we know how we both feel about Montgomery, right? To me, he's the identity of that offense, maybe even the team, right? His toughness, the way he runs the ball, what he brings to the game. In the Wildcat was great. They had a touchdown to Mooney. They had a lot of success off the Wildcat. I think Montgomery played quarterback in high school, and you can see that.
Yeah.
But I like when they were walking on that field, J-Mac, and they went down and they needed a touchdown to take the lead. They walked on. They took the field like they owned it. Like, yeah. I like the swagger.
Yeah.
I like Fields, Montgomery, Mooney, Cole Kmet. I like the way they took the field.
Yes.
And you can see it sometimes, a huddle. And you're watching the game and you're like, they're going to score.
Yeah.
Like, you could just tell by the way they were carrying themselves. And I think the young kids call it the drip. They had all, you know, they had a drip when they walked on that field, J-Mac. You could tell sometimes when you're watching teams, like, these guys don't believe.
Yeah.
Those guys took that field like there was no way. Now, Borum is going against Watt. TJ Watt. Borum's got to block him.
Yeah.
Right? James Daniels, Sam Mustipher, Cody Whitehair, Peters holding up late in the game at Heinz Field, silent count, right? What we heard about this offensive line was that's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go on the road with the crowd noise and execute a two-minute drive like that because those guys can't hold up. This offense is slowly proving people wrong. Now, I want to talk about first half, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Laser. Don't run your first boot. With 9 minutes left in the second quarter. Yes. Like J-Mac, if me and him sat in a room together, he could not explain that to me.
Yeah.
No way. There's no way he could stand at a podium and explain to me why you would do that. And then the next boot you run is into TJ Watt out of three wide receivers.
And naked at that, where you just give him a free run.
You couldn't explain that to me.
He see the quarterback is lunch. He's going. He's going. You ain't going to fake him out.
He's either one of them or the highest paid pass rusher in the league. Yeah. He's there to pass rush.
Yes.
He's not going to play your run fake.
Nope.
He's going to run right at the quarterback. So you better chip him with a tight end and late release. Anyway. Yes. And then one screen to Montgomery late in the game to get it down there for a field goal after the 15-yard penalty, which is bullshit on James Daniels.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
First of all, when you're on the 6-inch yard line, run the damn ball.
Yeah.
We don't need that play. Second of all, that's not a penalty.
Right. That didn't make it. But the thing is, if you're going to call that cut block, he missed the guy. So it's not.
Well, he's told to cut block.
Yes.
Right? That's on your sheet.
Yes.
Cut this guy's hands down so we can get outside.
Yes.
He's told to cut block.
Yes.
Right? So that is part of the scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that, first of all, that is my problem. Like you're saying, like, the offense needed a spark. What a spark is, getting Justin Fields on the move.
Yes.
Get the ball in Herbert or Montgomery's hands on screens.
Yes.
This isn't hard to figure out. In the second quarter, J-Mac, do you remember when Marquise Goodwin got hit over the middle? They ran like a play-action pass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he got blown up over the middle?
Yes.
Why isn't Allen Robinson on the field running that route? Why is that route going to Marquise Goodwin?
It makes no sense.
Right? So that first half game plan made no sense. And the Bears, on special teams, I know you like this, and we got to talk about Jakeem Grant, too.
Yeah.
But I know you like I think it's Iggy, the linebacker, caused that fumble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
DeAndre Hooshkar's scoop and score.
Yeah, it's
big
great
play,
I mean,
man.
Look at how many guys were around the ball on that play. That's why we were able to scoop and score. You get guys, you know, running full speed on kickoff like that. You know, nowadays it's a playoff now, right?
Right,
it's a playoff. I mean, you guys are kicking in the back in the end zone. You're running through the end zone. You take a playoff. But when that returner brings it out, man, it's like lunch. You got to go get them. And that's what we did. And you never know. When you get guys around the ball, good things happen. And that's what happened. We're able to scoop and score that put us back in the game. And then you talk about Jakeem Grant.
Man.
I like him as a returner. I do. But I think he's just like
he can't. Early
too
in the
many
game,
chances.
He took the ball 9 yards
deep.
And he leaves the offense on the 10-yard
line. Too aggressive.
No,
you're too aggressive.
Man.
You're too aggressive,
you're
man.
You're not Devin Hester.
Yes,
you're, no.
Exactly.
No,
there's
you're
only
not.
One.
There's only one.
Too aggressive.
And, you know, I don't know if Tabor's time to bring it out. If he is, then I got to go call Chris Tabor.
But, I mean, he's got to know, though. And
it poisoned J-Mac. Get away from the ball.
Get away from the damn ball.
What was he doing?
Get away. Everybody should be screwing poison from the sideline. Everybody's got
to
be
screwing. The discipline, man. We got to get to the lack of discipline.
Oh, my
the
goodness.
Penalties. You can't line up on sides.
The funny thing is we go.
Hands to the face early.
Oh,
personal
God.
Foul.
Oh,
on.
God.
Well, the one on Mario Edwards.
The funny thing, it was Quinn with the first offsides, and then right after it was Gibson. And I actually took a screenshot of Gibson.
So what's he doing?
He way offside. Yeah. And he's looking in at the ball. Like, man, he's almost face mask with the tackle, brother.
The problem was obviously with the refs, like the inconsistency of the calls. Yeah. They're calling Quinn offsides, but the rookie left tackle is in the backfield.
Yeah.
He's lined up off the ball. His head has to break the hips of the center. The Steelers guys were in the backfield all game. So if you're going to back these guys up, you got to move the tackles up too. Yeah. But once they start calling it, J-Mac, you can't line it. You can't keep end of the game, right?
Right. Two in a row, that's unacceptable.
So we get to the defense now, right? And again, 14 early. I think they had good field position on one after the first drive. Why Canada, the OC for the Steelers, won't just give the ball to Najee Harris is beyond me.
Yeah,
but,
beyond me too.
Kendallville Dorr, J-Mac. Mm. Teams are finding him. Third down.
Mismatch.
Claypool is one-on-one with him.
Mismatch.
Now, Claypool is a mismatch for 6'4", 230. He's a great player. But plus 26. Freiermuth, they find him in the end zone. Mm-hmm. One-on-one with Vildor.
Yep.
Sean Desai has to figure out either you have to hide man coverage from people. You can't just show Vildor man coverage. No. Are they going to find
it's a liability.
Right now without Eddie Jackson? They'll find Vildor and they'll find Duke Shelley.
Yep.
Right. And it looked like at the end of the game, Vildor dropped coverage, or there was some kind of coverage bust there. Someone had the receiver coming inside. It just seems like it's Vildor.
Yeah, they had Deontay. It was. I think they were in man, and Deontay Johnson ran that over route. And I mean, Vildor is playing outside leverage. I mean, you're giving him free access, and Deontay Johnson is their number one receiver. He's fast. Yep. Catches that ball in the over route. Boom. Big play. Chunk play.
Crucial
point in the game.
Now, this defense, we have to say, right? We have to say Khalil Mack is out. Mm-hmm. Akeem Hicks has an ankle problem. The touchdown early on, I think Freiermuth comes open late, mm-hmm. no pass rush, right?
Yeah.
They ran some game, and Brian Greasy put it right on TV that they're all in the B-gap stack. They screwed the game up.
Yeah, that's man coverage as well.
Man coverage.
You can't get home on man coverage. You put stress on your second.
Yeah, you're done in the red zone. Khalil Mack, on that play, if you leave Khalil Mack one-on-one with the right tackle, he gets home, right? So they miss. Mm-hmm. They've been missing Khalil Mack a lot. Akeem Hicks, ankle injury, right? Alec Ogletree is out. Looks like, except for some reason, Trevathan can't play the whole game, right? Because he's in and out, right? They had Christian Jones in. Eddie Jackson out. That's a good three players, but no one gave the offense
a break. I'm not giving them a pass.
No one gave the offense a break. Yeah. Like I said a week ago, a Lasers walking down from the press box looking at Desai like, sucks, right?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the play you mentioned, Trevathan, right? And I look at the run. I think it was second quarter. It was the second score, I think, when Najee ran that. Basically, I think he ran an inside zone. And Trevathan is right there to make the tackle. And Najee just runs in. I mean, it looked too easy. It was too easy. I mean, you have him in position, like, you got to make that tackle, man. And I know you ain't going to make every tackle, but you got to make that one. Mm-hmm. You got to make that one. That was way too easy. And like you said, yeah, the injuries and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, whatever week this is for the NFL, what is it? Going into what week are we in, brother?
We're going into week 10. It's the bye week.
Yeah, we're going into week 10. Everybody suffered injuries, but it's the next man up. That's why you develop a roster. You develop a roster because that backup is essentially going to be a starter at some point. Mm-hmm. You got to know that. So when you get your opportunity to get in there, you got to play. You know, we're not going to cry because Khalil's not in there and Akeem Hicks is in out of lineup. Next man up. Next man up's got to make a play. You know the system. You got to get there and make plays. And that's what happened. We're not the second tier guys, you know, they're not going in there making plays consistently. We consistently give up the big play when we need it. I mean, that last drive speaks for itself when Steelers came down. And granted, a lot of things happened on that drive, but we cannot keep giving them opportunities. Every single week we give that offense an opportunity during a crucial situation. We cannot get a stop because we give them something based on a penalty or we just give up something. Misalignment, busted coverage, missed tackle. I mean, it's been going on for weeks.
Mm-hmm. And if you ask me, okay, one stat that would tell you the Chicago Bears are 3-6 this year on a 4-game losing streak. Last year they were on a 6-game losing streak. Mm-hmm. I would tell you that 24.9 points a game and the defense ranked 22nd in the league, right? The defense, we all knew with the way the offense was constructed, the way they weren't scoring. Now, here they come. They're coming along. I actually on the pregame show, J-Mac, on the score with Patrick Manley and Mike Mulligan, Mully, I picked the Bears to win just because watching film, and I thought Fields was improving, and you just thought that if the defense, I thought Quinn would dominate the left tackle for the Steelers. I didn't. He had a sack and a hit on a quarterback, but didn't really dominate them. The D line. It's good to see Eddie Goldman. Goldman had a pretty good game.
He dominated
on fourth and one, but just like there's so many plays in there, like nickel plays, where I don't even know if Eddie Goldman, they consider him the starting D tackle on nickel. I see Bilal Nichols out there a lot on that first touchdown by Najee Harris, a little zone play down there by the end zone. The last thing you want to see on first and 10 is a 10-yard run for a touchdown from the first and goal from the 10.
Damn, he was untouched pretty much, and so, you got guys in position to make the play. I don't understand.
Left guard Dotson for the Steelers blocks Bilal Nichols. Bilal Nichols has, just like we talk about Eddie Goldman, he's got to step his game up. So the Bears come into this year, J-Mac, a young defensive coordinator, to hear at 3-6, an unproven offensive staff, an unproven defensive coordinator. I'm not shocked that with the schedule we saw early in the year, you looked at this run they have. You knew when they went with the Las Vegas Raiders, they won that game. But from there was the Raiders, the Packers, the Bucks, the 49ers, the Steelers, the Ravens. Then they get Detroit, and I got the Cardinals, Green Bay. You thought when you looked at that compared to last year when they lost six in a row, you're like, right in here is where they could lose six in a row again. Mm-hmm. And here we are with the second year in a row now. They've lost four games in a row, man. So, but I'm not overly shocked when you looked at the way the team was built in the offseason that – you knew the defense would have to be elite, and they haven't been, right? No matter what your excuse is, no matter what you say, they have not been elite on a defensive line. They've been injured, but they have not dominated. Their defense, the secondary, is very suspect now.
It's been vulnerable.
Yeah. So when you look at this defense, J-Mac, over the rest of these, I think it's going to be 8 games now because you got the one extra one, right? There's 17 games now. What are you looking to see, first of all, from young defense coordinator Sean Desai? What are you going to see from him? And then what are you looking to see from the players, starting with the secondary?
Yeah, I mean, they got to get healthy, first off. They got to get healthy. I mean, you need Khalil back. You need Akeem back. Being that lineup consistently. There's been no consistency in terms of that defensive front. Like we talked about, Akeem's in, Khalil's out. You know, they haven't been together.
Eddie Goldman's out early in the year.
Eddie Goldman's out. I mean, they haven't had their front line players, so to speak, you know, every game. And that's something we need to see. But like I said earlier, if you're that backup, you know, defensive end or whatever, you got to get in there and make plays. And, you know, I think Sean Desai has to figure out a way to continue to get pressure. You know, when Khalil's out, the only one that is getting pressure on the quarterback is Robert Quinn. Need somebody else to step up when Khalil's not in the lineup. And based upon that secondary, we knew that was going to be the Achilles heel going into the season. Like you said, Desai has to come up with some type of scheme, some type of way to not leave Vildor on an island, because he's not Darrell Revis. There's no such thing as Vildor fucking island.
No.
you got to give him to, excuse my language, but it's true.
Good.
I mean, they're taking advantage of it right away. The shot play to Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool's 6'4". Vildor's 5'11". I mean, that's not scheme. That's just matchup. You know, it's common sense. And I think you're going to see offenses continue to pick on that. And if I'm an offensive coordinator and I'm looking at this Bears defense, brother, I'm saying, all right, nothing scares me with their secondary. If their defensive front is healthy, that scares me. But if we can protect, we can make a lot of plays downfield, because there's nobody on the back end that scares you. Like I said a couple weeks ago, there's no alpha male in that secondary that's going to scare me, or that's going to dictate my offense to go away from our passing game. You know, you have Eddie Jackson, but he's still not the player he was before he got that contract. You know, there's no on that back end. In other words, there's no enforcer. There's no Mike Brown on that back end that's going to come up and just say.
The Steelers went after Jalen Johnson, too, a couple times. Now, he was in coverage, but they made some big catches on him.
Yeah, even him. I mean, yeah, Deontay Johnson made some big catches on him. So they have to do something to get Vildor some help, but also to help out the secondary. You know, you've got to do something because teams are going to continue to throw the ball all over us. And, you know, we've got to find a way to stop the run. You know, I don't know what we rank against the run, but we've given up too much chunk yardage to running backs. And if this defense was going to be the strength of your team, you know, we're in trouble with this upcoming schedule.
Yeah, like you're saying, first and foremost, that front, whatever, if it's nickel, the front six, if it's regular, the front seven,
yes,
they have to stop the run, right? Because if Desai has to add someone to the box or go play press man because we got to get a pass rush, Vildor, Jalen Johnson, Duke Shelley, the safeties, they're in trouble. Travis Gibson, yes. DeAndre Houston, good Carson, Tase Tabor, whoever else is out there,
good luck.
I got to step back to the game. Cassius Marsh, a.k.a. Undertaker's son, a.k.a. Okay, listen. The ref was ridiculous. What was his name?
Come on. Tony Corrente.
When he hip-checked Cassius. Like, what in the hell are you doing?
Yeah, come on.
And then not only did he, up on his toes, he threw the flag with the Kobe.
You're talking about the posture of the flag throw? The posture that everybody's talking about.
But all of that, I agree with everybody. Like, they have to handle it on the referee side.
Yeah.
My problem with Cassius Marsh, and we keep it real here on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, we got to keep it real.
Yeah. So, Cassius Marsh, when you do a spinning wheel kick, which was impressive, I would have ripped every groin.
That was great.
Okay, listen. At least, when you're going to celebrate that much, stare at the sideline, at least be it because you beat your guy.
Yeah.
Okay, if you watch that play, Jay, he got stoned for like a good 4 seconds.
Yep.
Okay, and then the right guard, Trey Turner, blasted him. He almost fell down when Trey Turner hit him. Mario Edwards and Blackson put on a great rush. Forced Ben out of the pocket. Yep. Because Cassius Marsh is at the line of scrimmage, he ends up with the tackle. You're going to celebrate that much over that play. When you pull out the wheel kick, J-Mac, when you pull out the spinning wheel kick, you gotta have beat the guy you're going against.
Yes.
He didn't beat the guy.
No.
And then you could see even Roquan, who ran up to celebrate him, because Marsh didn't turn around to celebrate, Roquan just ran off. Like, Roquan even looked at him like, what the hell are you doing?
What are you doing?
Like, first of all, Marsh, go tap Edwards and Blackson on the helmet and tell them thank you.
Yes.
Because I was getting my ass kicked on that play.
Yes.
So if you want to tell me how little you've been there, celebrate that play at that moment. Like, that was all you.
Yeah.
So
That's tough.
Here's my thing. Corrente, he's a moron. And the NFL has to handle him.
Yes.
If I'm at Halas Hall, Cassius Marsh has to buy us all dinner for acting like that and then coming on there like Robert Targaryen from Game of Thrones.
That's what I was going to say. I'm going to call him Game of Thrones. That's what I was going to say. I'm going to call him Game of Thrones. So Game of Thrones, first of all, like the posturing, looking at the sideline, you know, I understand you should celebrate with your teammates. He's a young guy.
Especially when you didn't make the play.
Right. You didn't make the play. A young guy who thinks he made a play. You're staring at the sideline. Now, I was pretty upset when it happened because I'm like, damn, you can't even stare at the sidelines in NFL.
How soft has the NFL got? Two things can be right? The NFL is completely wrong.
Oh, terrible. But terrible, brother.
Cassius Marsh.
Let's be honest.
We know Perry Fuel, too. What's Perry doing?
How
did he become that? I thought he was a coach. Why is he the head of referees?
Yeah, Hogue posted that. Adam Hogue, our good friend. Adam Hogue posted that on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's Perry
Adam
Hogue.
Tell Adam Hogue, I said, get the kickoff coverage team. Adam, get the Hogue and Jans. Get the kickoff coverage team straightened out. I don't want to be there at halftime again. Rasheed Davis has to take over kickoff coverage team.
Oh man, that is hilarious. We look at it, right? Posture. Now, your posture can get you a call. Can get you that flag.
Well, some of those personal fouls on Roethlisberger and then a cut on James. It was a terrible night for
us. Can you imagine how many flags we would have got based upon posture?
Yeah.
Because I had a lot of bad posture after a lot
the
of plays. Is, completely different.
The problem with the taunting call is it's just the ref's personal feeling on if that's taunting or not.
That's not right, brother. You can't do that, man.
I go back to, it's a dumb call. The refs were terrible that night. most of the calls went against the Bears. Like I said, if you go through the film, the tackles are offsides. They got to line up on the line of scrimmage. Okay. Their defensive line, TJ Watt, then were line up offsides too.
Yes.
It just seems like the flags were only coming out for the Bears.
How many times did Justin Fields get hit late, after the ball was gone?
Yeah, too many times.
He needed to get that call. And I think what he said was,
how about when Peters got cut? When he was pulling, you can't cut the line
anymore.
You can't
do that. But they cut it.
And he told them immediately, like, you didn't see that.
Yeah.
He told the ref immediately that the guy took, Highsmith took more than two steps and hit Justin Fields.
A lot of inconsistency.
Yeah. The refs, they suck.
Terrible, man. And it sucks when, you know, the officiating, you know, plays a big part in determining the outcome of a game. And it did. Did the Bears lose this game because of the ref? No. We did a lot of things that was self-inflicted, but the officiating played a big part. Played a big part in this game, man. I mean, you got Justin Fields, right? He's getting hit way late after the play. Big Ben, we look at Big Ben, they throw a flag. You know what I'm saying? I know it's Big Ben, future Hall of Famer. Yes, has he deserved those type of calls? Yeah, they want to keep him healthy. He's one of the, you know, the elite quarterbacks in this league. They want to protect the quarterback, but call it fair.
Yeah.
Like Justin Fields said, he said he talked to the ref after the play he got hit. He said, hey, you know, why wasn't that a flag? And the ref didn't really give an explanation. He's like, all right, I just, you know, want to make sure you're calling it fair. And I think, you know, even after the game, Justin Fields came on and he said that Joe Burrow made a point. He said, look, we ain't going to get those calls because – We're not that tier of quarterback yet. We haven't, you know, we don't have that equity built up. But at the end of the day, if you're a league that's protecting the quarterback, right, you're trying to make sure our quarterback stays safe, you got to call it fair, man. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable, I mean, how many times Justin Fields got hit late and they didn't throw a flag.
Yeah, and I go back, first of all, to the big eye in the sky doesn't lie, Mr. Ooh. Marsh. So you shouldn't celebrate that play. Period. Okay, you didn't do anything. You didn't. You fell on a 40-year-old quarterback because everybody. Anyway, to that point, J-Mac, the offense, where do you see it going in the second half of the season? What do you want to see from this offense that seems like now has a little momentum? They got Montgomery back.
Yeah.
A lot of people talking about the way Justin Fields plays and he keeps improving. And you talked about his leadership and sign up and just continue to like you don't want to say it because we all know there's a long way to go, but maybe. Does this the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois, do they have themselves a modern quarterback?
Yeah, I think we really do. But I think you have to now, with him having, you know, the amount of starts he has now under his belt, you got to take the handcuffs off this kid. You got to be more aggressive from the start. You know, I mean, look how many times we started slow every single game. Take the handcuffs off this kid.
Yeah.
Let him. He can make the throws.
Yeah.
He can make the throws. He can extend plays. He can make plays. He's a playmaker at quarterback. You know, we don't have a quarterback that's just a game manager.
Mm-mm.
We have a franchise playmaking quarterback. Let the kid play. Let the kid play. And I think, you know, in terms of our offense, I think we got to continue to be diverse. You know, I think we got to get more creative with our route concepts. I mean, we see, you know, I don't know how many times you see curl routes, curls, 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 curls. You know what I'm saying? That's what you see in teams playing man coverage. I mean, they're covering that up, you know. Be a little bit more diverse. Put some flavor on your out concepts, you know, because this guy can make all the throws. And in the run game, you know, I know David Montgomery is definitely the heartbeat of this offense, but I think you still have to get Khalil Herbert some more carries because David Montgomery coming off an injury, you know, yes, he can be the bell cow, but I think when you bring Khalil Herbert, he's a change of pace guy. You know, let him get some carries too. You know what I'm saying? David Montgomery's going to get 15, 20 carries, I think Khalil Herbert should, you know, you got to give him at least 10 carries in there. You know, you have two, not a two-back system. Obviously, David Montgomery's number one, but it's a change of pace with Khalil in there. And, you know, really established run game because we see when that run game's rolling, brother O, and when we able to sell that play action, it opens everything up. And what I really loved was seeing that, you know, Cole Kmet got involved. We've been talking about that. We see he's a guy that, you know, you draft him in the first round to do what he does. He's overall good tight end, but you got to give him the opportunity to showcase that, you know, which sending him over, you know, letting him stretch the middle of the field like he did against the Steelers, making tough catches. That's what you need from a first round tight end. That's what you can do. So continue to get him involved in, you know, in the passing game. Hey, We got to get Allen Robinson the ball more. Man. We got to force feed Allen Robinson the ball.
Force feed him.
And take your shots downfield.
Yep.
You got Mooney. You got Goodwin. Like I keep saying every week, brother, we talk about it every week. You got all this track speed that you raved about in the offseason. Well, let's see it.
We finally
saw some glimpses of it against the Steelers. Let's see that throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah, and as far as the offense goes, Justin Fields, you can't help but be excited when you see a quarterback, a rookie quarterback, improve like he's been improving. Go to Heinz Field. We all know. I mean, I wasn't crazy about the Steelers defense when I watched them on film. Right. I didn't think their front was very dominant. They have some injuries on their front right now. But to walk out there at Heinz Field with the terrible towels, you got to go silent count to give the huddle the confidence that, look, we're going to score. Like, the ball's in my hands. It was the first time, J-Mac. I don't know what you felt. When they got the ball back with 26 seconds and for whatever reason put Santos on the field to kick a 66-yarder, it doesn't make any sense. I throw a Hail Mary there. Thanks. Anyway, I felt like they had a chance to get the ball, and they almost did.
Yeah.
They almost, like, it seems to me like every time you put this kid in positions, he learns from that position. So I think the next time he has 30 seconds, he's going to know exactly what to do, and he's going to get it done. So when you have a quarterback who can make plays, like you're saying, you have a quarterback now, it looks like, a long way to go. You win because of. You don't have a quarterback you win with, right? This guy almost went to Heinz Field and beat the Steelers.
Yes.
On offense, the Chicago Bears, maybe since Trestman's Jay Cutler days, that we haven't seen something like that, right? But so the offense, you have to be excited. Like you're saying, Cole Kmet developing into a threat in the middle of the field, right?
Huge.
We saw Jimmy Graham this week, a little bit of him.
Yeah.
Do me a favor, Bears, take him off the backside on zone blocking. Thank you. That did not look good on film.
No.
Use someone else there. Allen Robinson, I think two things. They got to move around, put him in bunch, get the bracket coverage off of him somehow. Teams do that. Devontae Adams does it for the Green Bay Packers is one example.
Yep.
But I think also in the fourth quarter, Fields got comfortable. They looked a little more comfortable together. Oh, if I got one-on-one, I'm going to Allen Robinson
because
he's going to win.
Yeah, give him the freedom to change the play. Give it to him.
I don't need to see a fade to Jimmy Graham in the end zone twice. Throw it to Allen Robinson in the end zone down there. But first and foremost, J-Mac, I like what I see in the offense. The offensive line, I think, has performed above, first of all, their pay grade. They're not paid a lot of money. They performed above their pay grade. And on the road with the rise of Borum, did pretty damn good against that Steelers front, right? Yeah. So Peters is, I mean, what he's given the Bears, gosh, they should give him a bonus, right? Like if Pace had any respect, he would say, hey, man, here's another, whatever.
39 years old.
Who's fishing. But also, I like the leadership he brings to that locker room and to that group, right? Cody Whitehair, James Daniels, Sam Mustafa, all of them, I think they had the run game going. As far as Herbert goes, I know they ran that wildcat with Herbert and Montgomery and Nall. I like to see him like they used Tariq Cohen. I like to see him be the new Tariq Cohen. By that, I mean fake a jet sweep to him.
Yeah.
Teach him how to run jet sweeps.
Definitely.
You know, you can use him as your third wide receiver.
Yep.
Teach him how to run jet sweeps. Teach him how to run a slant. Teach him how to run a wheel.
Yeah.
Give him, we saw the Steelers run a bunch of jet sweeps and those kind of motion runs. Give those to Herbert if you want to get him involved.
Yeah.
Because I just think I like Montgomery back there. Like you said, when Damon Williams comes back, they got embarrassment of riches now at running back. So the offense looking pretty good. Hearing some rumblings of Tevin Jenkins is getting healthier.
Yeah.
Right. What should they do with Tevin Jenkins? What should they do with that offensive line? We shall see. We shall see as this year goes on. I think you get him reps. I think you see what you got from him. Because right now,
you have to.
He hasn't been in pads yet.
Yeah.
On the NFL level. Because I think he was hurt in camp. For someone to say that they know what they should do with Tevin Jenkins when he hasn't been in pads against an NFL football player yet. That's madness to me, Jeremy. Like, sometimes, you know what's all right to say as an analyst? I have no fucking idea. Right? Like, what should you do with Tevin Jenkins?
Right.
The hell if I know? Right. Oh, he's only been in shorts and t-shirt.
That's what I'm saying. He's ready.
Like,
he's in shorts.
What? He's a better guard or better right tackle. How do you know that? from him running the hills at Halas Hall.
Right. From him hitting a Packer shield. He's hitting a shield all at practice.
They're not going full speed at practice. No, not in season. What are people like? All of a sudden I hear, oh, Tevin Jenkins should play right tackle. How the hell do you know that? He should play guard. I don't know.
You know, you're starting to see what you have in Barome. So it's like you gotta.
Barome, I call him Barome too.
Yeah,
I think people correct me. Barome. I'm sorry. I do that all the time. People are like, you know, Jeff Joniak. He's a good guy. He calls me. He's like, the correct way to say the name. When I say Jeff, you know I'm an idiot, man. I mean, so Barome, we all know, okay, Barome.
Yeah.
He always looks like that. But then he gets injured. So he has to prove what? Like when people say like, oh, look, you found your right tackle. I need to see 10. See more, I got to see 12 to 16 small games.
You need a bigger sample.
Yeah,
size.
I got to see when his body starts to wear down a little bit. Right. Yeah. Right now he's fresh. He has 6 weeks off training room, weight room. I got to see when he gets a little bit tired. You know, for Barome, for me, it's going to be week 15, 16. Then I got my eyes on him.
Yeah.
What level is he playing at? He's still moving fast. You know what I mean? Cause he's been out now for a concussion and he's been out for a high ankle sprain. That's two injuries in 1 year. So I'm watching. Tevin Jenkins out with his back. Obviously, Tevin Jenkins, when he's recovering from back surgery, everybody can predict what position he's going to play. These guys, J-Mac, these guys are amazing. Who can predict that? I haven't seen him yet. I haven't even seen him in practice.
Yeah, we haven't seen him. The last time we seen him, he was getting drafted, honestly.
While he's doing bird dogs, that's what they do, right? They do bird dogs. they do bird dogs to, like, heal their backs. I guess when you do bird dog, you can tell when a guy's in a bird dog, J-Mac, with like one arm out, one leg out, you can tell what position he should be on the offensive line. Like, what the hell are you people talking about? You know what I mean? Like, anyway, offense moving in the right direction, J-Mac. We'll end with this. Mm-hmm. Coaching staff, Coach Nagy, offensive coaching staff, defensive coaching staff, special teams. What would you like to see from these guys to end this year?
Well, we know in the bye week, a lot of used to be, I don't know what they're going to do over there now, but we used to do a lot of self-evaluation, a lot of self-scouting. So offensively, you got to self-scout. You got to say, like I said before, what can we do better to jumpstart this offense from the first snap? You know, a lot of time, you look in that game, if we would have came out, I think, more aggressive in the first half, we wouldn't have been in the situation we were in the game. You know, you have an opportunity to put more points on the board because you're coming out slow. You're not aggressive. You're not getting your quarterback in rhythm. You start slow. So I think you leave a lot of opportunities on the field. So I like to see them start faster offensively. I mean, like you say all the time, brother, you got so many offensive gurus and quarterback coaches in that building. What can you do better based on your self-value offensively to put more points on the board? Because we had our highest scoring output of the season, but how many weeks has it been?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And seven from special teams, right, to be honest.
Yeah,
seven,
I mean, we got to score more points, man. We have to score more points. So whatever you got to do based upon your self-value.
Especially with our defense.
Yes. Right. And then defensively, like we said, you know, I'll go back to what we said earlier. Sean Desai, you've got to figure out a way to help your secondary. You got to figure out a way to help Beldor. And you got to figure out a way to get a consistent pass rush despite who's on the field. That's your job. You can't say, oh, we don't have a pass rush because we don't have Khalil Mack. Oh, Akeem Hicks is out. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. You got to get a pass rush or some type of consistent pass rush with the personnel that you have out there. That's your job as the coordinator. So you got to go back and you got to assess, Scott, what can we do to put pressure on the quarterback to take the pressure off of our secondary?
Right. And when you look at that defensive staff, I think what people don't talk about enough is, and they're probably in the bunker right now trying to figure out, okay, we got to stop this run. New outside linebacker coach. He was a pass rush specialist last year. Bill Shuey. You know, obviously Jeremiah Tatu gets hurt. He's out for the year, I think, with a peck. Khalil Mack. So that's what people, a lot of people don't talk about, right? Like, not only is there started outside linebacker out, the main backup was out too, the guy who was getting reps, Jeremiah Tatu. So now you're down to the third, fourth, Kamara. That's why you see them sign a guy, Cassius Marsh.
Yep.
Now you're starting to see these guys. All of a sudden, Trevor, you know, if you look at the line, right? It used to be J-Mac, Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, Robert Quinn.
Yeah.
Now, when you look out there, you're seeing Cassius Marsh, Blackson, Mario Edwards, and Gibson on some downs, right? So, totally different group. A big job for Bill Shue and Chris Rumpf. So, two new coaches too, right? Jay Rogers, D-line coach here for years, is now in San Diego, right? So, Pagano's gone. Monachino left. Monachino was outside linebacker coach. A lot of new faces in that building on defense, and the rank is starting to show them. So, they have to be, like you're saying, self-scouting the Bible.
You got
to
figure it out.
First of all, run fits, right?
Right.
Run fits. Stay in your gap. Stay strong. Don't take, like, on that, we talked about that touchdown by Najee Harris. Bilal Nichols has to do a better job against Dotson there, but they ran what they call a fax block. You know the fax with the tight ends going backside. It's caused a guy who's having a great year, but on that play, it caused Roquan Smith to step away.
Yeah, to get out of position.
Out of position. So, listen, Roquan, Trevathan and them can do it. They'll do their job.
Yep.
You do your job. Right?
Yeah.
Stay in your gap. You're fine here, right? So, from the coaching staff, on the offense side of the ball. So, the defense side, first of all, like you're saying, we got to find some ways to help Vildor. Hopefully, we get healthy, man, because there's a lot of money on the sideline right
now. Definitely.
So, those guys can help, right? Eddie Jackson, Matt Bowen, a friend of our show, has told me many a times, you don't see the things that guy does in coverage.
Yeah.
And he's right. I don't.
Yeah.
Right? So, Eddie Jackson, obviously, we're seeing it now. Very good at coverage. Mm-hmm. Very good helping people out. Khalil Mack, we all know, he's a monster out there. So, if they get him back, get Akeem Hicks healthy, that immediately is a totally different defense. But if you're the Bears brass up there, immediately you're thinking, well, does Sean Desai need all these all pro type players to have a good defense? Right? You're thinking that. So I got to see this young coordinator get better.
Yeah.
I got to see him get better as the year goes on. Mm-hmm. On the offset of the ball, like you're saying, take the handcuffs off Justin Fields.
Take them off.
And
man,
get him out of pocket early. Run screens. This is not hard. That like you, if I'm running the Chicago Bears, J-Mac, Bill Lazor is sitting in front of my desk and explain to me why his first time he gets Fields out of pocket is with 9 minutes left in the second quarter. And I'm going to tell him very simply, do it again and your ass is fired.
Yep.
Very simply, do it again and you're fired. Like,
yep.
No, I don't care what you say. I don't care what. No, you have no excuse for that.
Yeah.
None. Zero. Zero. Why are you sitting in the pocket and empty through the whole first quarter? I have no idea. So, that needs to improve on the offensive side of the ball. Like, no more of this. Like, we see one screen again. Lazor, Nagy, run one screen again in the game and you're fired. Like, this shit, that's as simple as it
right.
is. Like, I don't.
Right.
Like, and I hope I didn't stutter. Like, I'm just making it very clear. Get the ball in Herbert and Montgomery's hands.
Please.
Or throw a quick screen to Cole Kmet or Jesse James, tight ends. Get Fields out of pocket. Run sprint right, sprint left. Just, it's very simple. It doesn't mean you do that the whole game, but you have to do some of it. And then for me, J-Mac, the biggest question out there is Coach Nagy's scheme didn't work. So for the Chicago Bears, for decisions for next year, is he a good head coach? And that's what I'm watching. And what we saw in Pittsburgh, J-Man, I want to get your thoughts on this before we close this up. What we saw in Pittsburgh, you can make all kind of excuses about the refs, but look, they called timeout. They still lined up wrong. They lined up wrong. Just the rookie quarterback had to get someone over to line up correctly.
Yes.
They called timeout to get it fixed and still got a penalty on that play. So that's undisciplined, man. It's undisciplined football. When you have that many penalties, no matter bad calls or not, it falls on the coach.
Yes.
Right? So, wondering from you, what do you expect to see from Coach Nagy besides his press conferences, which I thoroughly enjoy when he goes on and on? I think Cap calls it gobbledygook.
Man, the response he had to the taunting penalty when Cassius Marsh the other day was hilarious. He's like, you're taking away the passion. You're taking away the passion from the game. I mean, I love his enthusiasm. He's going to back his players, which, hey, you back your guys. You're supposed to as a head coach. But going back to what you're saying, Brother O, the discipline, man, is killing us. And we've seen it every single game. Personal foul, offside. Just little things that, I mean,
well,
not little
sure
things.
We saw receivers punching guys in the face.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen this,
Bilal Nichols got thrown out against Tampa Bay.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, granted, like you say, at the end of the day, man, you have to have it embedded in that building, in your locker room, in your foundation, in your culture, that we are not going to do anything that's going to beat ourselves. You can't. And we've done it over and over again. Like you said, it's stint from last year. So he has to hammer home to his guys that, hey, if you think you're bigger than the team, right? If you think you're bigger than the team, then you got to get out of here. You ain't going to be on the team because that stuff is unnecessary and it's haunting and it's killing us. And we see it over and over again, every game. So, you know, how much of an emphasis, you know, are they putting on this? You know, obviously it's not a lot because we've seen it happen over and over time and time again. So we definitely got to see a change there. You got to see a change there.
Yep. J-Mac, good luck, man. Well, I don't like to say good luck. Kick ass this week.
Yes, sir.
Good luck means you didn't put in any work. You just need luck. Right. Nah, man. You guys put in the work. The Bears had the 6-2. Their tough schedule continues, man. They got the 6-2 Baltimore Ravens, and the Ravens play tonight, so they pretty much get a bye week too. Right? Yeah. They play on a Thursday night. That run defense we're talking about better be shored up. The Ravens defensive front with Don Wink, Martindale. To our listeners, looked its defensive coordinator up. Yeah. Nagy has some match wits again with Harbaugh. You know, with Tomlin, Harbaugh. This has been a tough schedule.
Harbaugh's a great coach.
Yeah, this has been a tough run for the Bears. I'm going to look at this film closely, J-Mac, try to find ways for them to win because we might have a quarterback who if they get him going.
Yeah, we got a quarterback. And against the Ravens, you have to score some points now.
You got to score some points, brother. But listen, you got Lamar Jackson. We got Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Right?
So mano a mano.
Yeah, let's do it.
But this is the thing. Now, I know, but look at the way that the Ravens have developed that scheme around Lamar Jackson.
Greg Roman, very good, but he did Colin Kaepernick too.
Development.
Run game. You know, hopefully as we play this team, you can steal some concepts, right?
Yes.
Steal some concepts from the Baltimore Ravens and the way they attack the middle of the field with Andrews, their tight end, and we got Cole Kmet, and it'll be good for us to see them again match up against a good football team. I think the Ravens are better than the Steelers, to be honest. They're better than them. We got them at home. We got them on the lakefront, and I'm sure the Ravens will be favored. So J-Mac will be looking for an upset. Kick ass this week, man, up there at Notre Dame. Right. Maybe I'll swing by. Loyola's right there. Loyola's right by there. So I'll swing by and watch that same side counter until the cows come home.
You love it. Hey, you got to stop it, baby.
Hey, do it again.
Do it again until they stop. Run it again.
Have a great week, J-Mac.
All right, man.
Hey, guys, it's Olin Cruz, and I want to tell you about Tequila Embajador, the official tequila of the No Name Podcast. Whether it's celebrating a big win or just kicking back after work, adding Tequila Embajador takes every gathering to the next level. The care, quality, and patience put into each and every bottle of Tequila Embajador can be tasted from the first sip to the last, and it's why we're honored to call them our teammates. Go to their website, embajadortequila.com, and use the code KICKOFF10 and receive your discount on your next purchase of Tequila Embajador, the official tequila of the No Name Podcast.
Well, that does it for our show today on the No Name Football Podcast. We thank all of our listeners for listening and supporting us on all the social media platforms. Make sure you download our podcast. We're on all the platforms, Spotify, iTunes, whatever your choice is. Make sure you download it. Make sure you tell your friends and family. Give us a rating if you like. Hopefully it's a 5-star rating, but if not, give us a rating anyway. We liked your feedback and criticism, that things we can improve on upon our show. But before we go, as usual, man, I want to suit up right now. In the words of the great Mike Brown, you guys keep making plays in life, and we'll keep making these great podcasts for you. We're out, and we'll see you next time, Chicago. Take care. God bless.
Mahalo.